2 Kings chapter number 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6. I don't feel as though I have a great deal on me tonight, but I feel this is where the Lord would have for us to be. Very difficult week as far as trying to seek the will of God and know what He wanted for the service tonight. And today I couldn't get away from this scripture. Didn't know exactly what all He wanted for us out of it, but He began to work in my heart. And I believe someone here tonight needs to hear what the Lord has to say to your heart. 2 Kings chapter number 6, when you've found your place, if you're able and willing to stand, we will together, out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. Very familiar scripture that we'll read into your hearing. No doubt everybody knows this story, this account here in the Word of God. 2 Kings chapter number 6, begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan. Take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. One said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. When they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. We read these verses here, and I said already it's familiar to all of us. We all know this story. I think, if my memory serves me correctly, this is the 8th miracle that this man of God performs. And there are a lot of things that could be said about this, and I don't have no great introduction or anything like that. I just want to get down to where I feel like we need to be. And here are these sons of the prophets that are being mentored, if you will, or led by this great man of God that's taken over in the place of a great man of God that went before him. They said, "We need more room. Where we're at, there's not enough room for us." And so they asked permission of the man of God to build another place. He gives them permission, and they have it well figured out that they want to be around this man of God. They've seen the power of God in him and saw God work through him, and they don't want to be apart from that. I think we can learn a great lesson in our day that we need to be around where the power of God is, and we ought to want to stay and abide where it's at. They asked him, said, if we go and build this place, we want you to go with us. We've experienced some things where you are and watched you, and we want what you have, and we want you to go along with us. And so he goes. The Bible says that they get down to Jordan and they began to cut down wood. One of them, these sons of the prophets, was felling a beam, the Bible said. And as he was, somehow or another, there are many things, theories that could be said about why it was that the axe head fell off. I do know enough about axes to know that the metal didn't change. Something, it wasn't the head that changed, it was the handle. Something went wrong in the handle, and the head came off. And it fell in the water. And the Bible said that he cried out to the man of God, "Alas, Master, for it was borrowed." Now, I got to studying today by the direction of the Holy Ghost, and got to looking up that word, "Alas." And it is a word of mourning. It's a word of grief. It meant that he was sorry for what had happened. And the reason that he was sorry, I personally believe, and the way that I'm persuaded by the way it's in my heart, I think that he thought once the head fell in the water, there was no hope of ever getting it back. I believe that's why he cried, "Alas, Master, I'm so sorry about this. It didn't even belong to me, and now I'll never get it back." The man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place. Meant so much to him that he took notice where it hit the water. The Bible said he cut down a stick, and there's a lot of things. I know I'm probably doing the scriptures injustice tonight. There's a lot of things that could be said. I studied today. I just don't really feel impressed to spend a lot of time on it about this word stick. It's a very generic word in the Word of God. It means stick, it means tree, it means wood. It's the same word that's translated in Galatians chapter 3 when it talks about the Lord being hung on a tree. It's the same word for tree and stick that's used here in the Word of God. And so it's a great type and a picture of the work of God, of the work of Calvary. This axe head is a great type and a picture of lost humanity that cannot be redeemed, cannot be recovered without a supernatural work of God, and that work being done at Calvary on the cross by the tree and by the work that happened there 2,000 plus years ago. I believe that's right. But the Bible said he cut down the tree or the stick and cast it in the water, and the Bible said the iron did swim. And the man of God said in verse number 7, "Take it up to thee." And he put out his hand and he took it. Now what's on my heart tonight, and I won't be very long, I don't think, is how to recover what's been lost. This man thought there was no way he would ever recover what he had lost. And some of you are here tonight and you feel as though you've lost some things. I'm not saying you're lost. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you as a saved child of God. This man was a son of the prophets. He was a type and a picture of the child of God, and he lost some things. He lost his power. That's what he lost. When you consider what he lost, the axe head coming off the handle, what he lost that day was his power to do anything. I mean, their whole goal, their whole work in this scripture was to cut down wood, cut down trees, to find some timber to build a house. And without an axe head, he could beat the tree with the handle all he wanted to. But without the head, there was no power to produce an effect. Could be said like this: it was only outward show. He could still go through all the motions. He could still swing with all his might. He might even knock a little bark off the outside of the tree, but he could not get down to the heart of the matter where business would take place. for he had no power. And the reason he had no power is because he had lost the head. I believe in our day, in 2020, among the majority of our churches, sits pews and pews and pews of people who have lost the power with God. I didn't say they lost their salvation. I said they lost their power with God. One old man of God that I probably respect as much or more than any other man of God I've ever come in contact with said that the hardest thing, the most difficult thing for a child of God to do is to maintain the power of God. It is a daily work, a daily effort, a daily checking. This didn't just happen overnight. Oh, we read the story that he went to go to work and suddenly the axe head came off. But somewhere along the line, little by little, something happened to the handle and the head got loose on the handle. And because there was not proper maintenance that took place, he lost the power. And I believe that's what's going on in our churches, is there's not any proper maintenance being taken place. And little by little, unbeknownst to us, many of us, the head's getting loose on the handle. I'm pretty simple-minded, grew up in the country all my life. My uncles are loggers. Most of the men in my family have always been, and I know a little bit about it. And I talked to my uncle some years ago. I remember I preached a message out of this scripture, not necessarily what I'm preaching tonight, but I thought about it and I got to talking to him. Matter of fact, we were up at Brother Tim's house cutting down some trees, and he had just bought a new axe, and it was one-sided, and he was using the other side, the blunt side, to beat some wedges in the tree, and all of a sudden the head come off. And he said, well, this one's new. I ain't used it much before. And I'm afraid that's what's going on in our churches today. We got a bunch of new stuff that we ain't never used before. It's never been proven. And the old man of God, the same one that said that about maintaining the power of God, said everything new's not true and everything true's not new. We better stick with the old stuff that has stood the test of time. Then we got to talking about how to keep a head on the handle. He said, well, one of the best ways is to soak the handle in water and it'll swell. And I thought that's exactly right. If you and I as the people of God will stay inside this water, stay inside this that points out all the things. The Bible said it's like a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. A lamp shows you where you are. A light shows you where you're going. And sometimes it shines the light in my life, in your life, and I don't like what it shows in the shadows. But what it's doing, it's maintaining the unity between the handle and the head. Then he said, if you can't get it to swell good enough, you can drive a nail in it. He said a horseshoe nail works the best of any. And I thought, Lord, there's got to be something in that, but I don't know what it is. And the more I got thinking about it, the more the Lord worked on me. And I thought about them shoes on them horses. They go on their feet, and it's what they walk on. And I thought if our walk lines up, it'll have that tightness, that closeness between us and the Lord. It's kind of like that song. I know it seems like not two or three weeks go by that somebody don't mention it, but it's exactly right. The writer knew what they were saying when they said, hand in hand, we walk each day, hand in hand, along the way, walking thus. I cannot stray hand in hand with Jesus. What that writer was saying is when my walk's right and my worship's right and I've got the handle where it needs to be and the head is where it needs to be, there's no chance of that the head's coming off. There's unity there. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel like you've lost the power you once had. I've been there. And if any of you have been saved for any length of time, you've probably experienced some place in your life where you realize you didn't have what you used to have. And if you've ever really had it, it's a miserable place for the child of God. This son of the prophet, he was in a miserable state, crying out in sorrow and agony because of what he had lost. I believe it'll be the same for the child of God that loses the power that they once had. But then I thought, maybe somebody's here tonight, and we're just being very open and honest tonight. And I know it's in a different gear, but I believe with all my heart. Why? I don't know, but for some reason the Lord wants this tonight. I believe that some of the people of God have not just lost their power, but they've lost their productiveness. Now you say, wait a minute, this is not a show business. Oh yes, it is. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me, you bring forth fruit. And in verse number 8, he said it brings glory to the Father for us to bear much fruit. That is, a vine produces fruit. That is its production, its productiveness. And I believe with all my heart we've got rows and rows of people in the pews. They're saved. They're on their way to heaven. But they have lost their productiveness. They're not producing any fruit. And I was pondering today and the Lord brought it to my heart, and I never had seen it like this before, and I may be getting out in left field, but it's what the Lord put on my heart. I got to thinking about recovering what was lost. And I got to think about that word recover. It means to get it back. It means to be restored, to gain back that which was lost. And I got to thinking, just pondering in my mind about scriptures in the Word of God that I remember seeing the word recover. And the thing that came to my mind about productiveness was the chapter before, in chapter number 5, about a man by the name of Naaman. And it dawned on me, by the help of the Lord, that Naaman, I believe, in the Word of God, is a type and a picture of a child of God whose life is tainted by sin. You say, how you figure? Well, go to chapter 5 and read verse number 1. It said Naaman was a great man. Now, this is what the Bible said about him. He was a great man and an honorable man, and by him the Lord had given victory. So this was a man that the Bible said was used of God in days gone by, and God gave him victory. He had experienced what it was like to live in victory. He had experienced being a captain of the host, being a great man, an honorable man. But the last of the verse said, but he was a leper. Leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. But not every leper, I realize today, is a type of a sinner. This man is a type of a child of God who now has lost their productiveness. It didn't matter anymore how great a man he was. It didn't matter anymore how honorable a man he was. It didn't matter anymore how many victories he had obtained in days gone by. Now all that mattered was that he was a leper. And that disease was the disease of the blood that worked inwardly first. And that's how sins conceived. According to James, it's lust that works inside, and then it becomes sin. And then eventually sin, when it's carried out, will manifest itself, whether in a sinner or in a saved person. It will eventually manifest itself on an outward level. And they say that leprosy, if not treated, if left in its state, would begin to disfigure the person. Would cause numbness in the extremities, in the hands and the feet, the arms and the legs. Now what kind of man could lead an army into battle that couldn't feel his hands, that couldn't feel his feet, that couldn't use his arms or couldn't use his legs? It tells us to go so far as they would begin to fall off. Fingers would fall off. Toes would fall off. Hands would come off. What kind of a man can lead an army in that state? He couldn't, because he lost his productiveness. Many children of God are sitting in the pews today, and God's wanting to use them, and His desire is to use them and put them where they need to be, in the vine, and let that nutrients from the vine come through them and produce through them that fruit that God desires to see. But sin's come in their life and it's caused a mark on them, and it's broke off the communion and the fellowship, and now the nutrients ain't getting where they ought to be, and the child of God has lost their productiveness. There's a little old girl down there, and she said if he could just get down where the man of God is, he would recover him of his leprosy. And I'm going to tell you what, child of God, there's a recovery for what you've lost. You may have not got so far away. I'm not saying you have to be living in gross, open sin, but the Bible said, to he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. But there's a recovery. If you've lost the power, there was a recovery. Now, Elisha said, where it fell, it cut a stick, threw it in the water. And the Bible said it swam, it came to the surface. And he said, reach out and take it, get it back, recover it. Naaman went down there to Elisha. He told him what to do, to dip in Jordan, to be washed, to be clean. And child of God, even though there's sin in your life, John said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's a recovery for you. And then I thought about, and I'm done tonight. I think in 1 Chronicles chapter 30, we read about David at Ziklag. He goes to fight with the Philistines, comes back. And the Amalekites and Midianites and all them had invaded Ziklag, burned it with fire. They had taken captive their wives and their sons and their daughters. And they lost, or thought they lost, what was most precious to them. And you may be here tonight and you may have lost the power. You may be here tonight and you may have lost your productiveness. You may be here tonight, and because of the circumstances and the situations of this life, you feel as though you may have lost that most precious to you. Whatever it is. It can make the application as it was in David's life. It may be a spouse. It may be a son. It may be a daughter. But it may be something else that you hold precious. It may be your prayer life. It may be your dedication. It may be your desire to go on. It may be your relationship, your communion between you and God. Whatever it is that you hold precious and you feel like you've just about lost it. But in every story, supernatural. None of this happened by their own power. It was always a supernatural working of God. David got down. The men began to speak. Now all these were mighty men. They had followed David. And now they're speaking a stone in him, saying it's all your fault all this has happened. David fell on his face before the Lord. He said, do I pursue them? And the Lord said, yes, sir. Not only do you pursue them, but I promise you, you will recover all. And two more times in the Word of God, in that same chapter, it said, and David recovered all. Oh, it looked pretty hopeless. Could you imagine going to your home tonight and your house being waste by fire and knowing that your family was in there, and you get the report that somebody's come in and kidnapped your wife or your husband, your sons and your daughters. Pretty hopeless situation. And no doubt David and Naaman and all the others cried as the prophet did, alas. But there was a recovery. I'm here to tell you tonight, it don't matter how bad it looks. It don't matter how difficult the situation. It don't matter how desperate it seems. There is hope. There is a way to recover what you've lost. You can have it back. You can have the power back. You can have the productiveness back. You can have the things you hold most dear and precious. You can recover them by the help of God. He can do it. I can't do it. Nobody else in the church can do it. You can't do it. But that one I was talking about before service, that is a very present help in the time of trouble, that when you're in your darkest hour, as the old black preacher said, that he can get to you faster than right now. He's already there and he wants to help you. Why don't you come to him, cry out, say, alas, Master, I can't do it. I need help. And he can help you tonight. You can recover. I said tonight, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what do you want me to preach on tonight? And I know a lot of times titles don't mean much, but I wanted something from the Lord. And he said, you tell them how to recover what they've lost. Not it might be able to be, not there's a chance it can be, but God said it could be, and this is how. Turn to Him, come to Him, cry out to Him, just like the prophet did to Elisha, and it'll work in this day. Whatever you've lost, whatever you're losing, maybe tonight that you've not lost it yet, but it seems like it's slipping out of your hands. It's going away. You've not got any control. You're losing the grip on it. It seems like it's going out of your hand. And you need help from God tonight. It can be recovered. While we stand all over the house, I'm done. God spoke to your heart. Whatever your situation, whatever your circumstance,